Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean.
All right, we got some fabulous news to share with you. Our friend Larry Kudlow now has been announced to take over for the globalist Gary Cohn. And what I've known Larry Kudlow for years, love Larry Kudlow. He understands the economy about as well as anybody. His book about Reagan and Kennedy and the prosperity that this country experienced under those economic policies is phenomenal. And so we look forward to welcoming him to take over for Gary Cohn's position. I see Sunshine is back. Where have you been the last 2 days?
I have a fabulous story about this wonderful pick by the administration, which I'm thrilled about. You know, Larry Kudlow was the first person I ever worked for in radio.
When did you work for Larry?
I first started out at ABC.
He was a great guy.
I was still an intern. I worked on the weekends.
It's called the ex-wife. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. When I worked at the ex-wife.
Right, okay.
And I briefly had a job there before I came here. But all of that to say, I worked for Larry Kudlow on the weekends.
Yeah.
And he was just,
he was a peach.
Unbelievable, hysterical guy.
Yeah.
In between, you know, coffee and cigarettes, running up and downstairs.
Is that true?
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
You barely made the breaks. You were like, I was like watching the stock market drop, waiting for him to get back from his break.
I used to be.
The best guy.
I remember I'd always be in the car listening to him. And for whatever reason, I was always in the car because of kids' tennis. And I remember more often than not, I'd always call in. And I never call shows. I would call Larry. We'd have a good talk. And anyway, well, I'm glad he's there. That's really important. I'll tell you what's pretty disgraceful today. There's a headline: teachers unions, and you've got all these other groups of people out there. You got Pocahontas. By the way, why wouldn't Elizabeth Warren get one of those ancestry tests? Ancestry was a advertiser on this program for a period of time. I actually had the test. And it's pretty cool. I mean, if you want to find out what your heritage is, your background is, in my case, it came back. It was something that I thought I already knew, but you don't always know. 100% Irish or 100% British Isle is how they defined it. And I think those tests are amazing because, you know, maybe you have this. You didn't know you had that relative, this relative. It doesn't, you know, it's kind of cool. They were shocked because very few people come back 100% like I did. That apparently is not normal. I'm like, oh, okay, well, whatever. But it's interesting to find out. But I knew all four of my grandparents came to America, and none of them had any money, for the record. But anyway, so all these kids, you know, Planned Parenthood, the Women's March, Pocahontas, Elizabeth Warren, who won't take the test, but she says she's not running for president, probably is running for president. They're all behind. I watched these students walking out today to change the gun laws, and it's pretty despicable that so many people feel that they have a right to indoctrinate our kids. You know, so they're trying to get, you know, young 14, 15, 16-year-old kids to vote Democrat in the fall. That's all this effort really is. And if it's about never again, ban weapons, never again, I'm like, okay, now I'd ask every one of these kids, what would really be educational for these kids is if they were brought, if the teacher would come back after the walkout, which went on for 17 minutes, 1 minute, I guess, for every person that was killed in the Parkland shooting. Are you drinking wine on the job? What are you doing in there? What are you manufacturing? Why are you putting wine on your food?
It's called balsamic vinegar.
Oh, it looks like a bottle of wine. Anyway, if they would have a fair discussion, here's the question I would ask every kid. I'd say, okay, God forbid this happens in our school right here where we are. Would you rather have armed concealed carry, former retired military, retired police that have been trained in the use of weapons. Would you like to have two of these individuals on every floor of the school, on the perimeter of the school, if, God forbid, something were to happen in our school? And have a discussion. Because, and any of you listening in your car, listening at home, listening at work, think about the same thing. If you're in a municipal building and there's an active shooter, and these shootings usually end in 3 minutes, and the average response time of the police, which is phenomenal, 6-7 minutes, would you like to know, would you rather have an armed, retired military or police officer there? The answer should be yes. And if not, I think it's just pretty dumb. Because at least it gives you an opportunity to stop the person before they commit more crimes. Now, with that said, part of my plan is you have a full perimeter security threat assessment of every school in the country. And it could be done for free. Well, how do you get it done for free, Hannity? Well, I would bring in your local FBI agents. I would invite them to come. I would invite the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and I'd invite them. And then I would invite, the local police and sheriff's department and everybody, if they wouldn't mind donating a little bit of time and giving their local school a threat assessment. I guarantee you every single school would get a free threat assessment. And that would probably include securing the perimeter. We'd have to secure the areas where people can get in and out of the school. And that would just be a commonsensical thing to do. I mean, and kids would have to have IDs. And I don't think it would be a bad idea for kids to go through metal detectors every morning like we do when we take an airplane. All of us do it. Do we like it? No. But by the time I get on the plane and I order my Coors Light or whatever I'm drinking and I'm sitting there and I'm having a beer on the plane, I'm kind of happy knowing that, well, there's not somebody else on the plane that may have something that they snuck through because we don't have a metal detector. And I'm kind of glad that you take your shoes off. And for whatever reason, it used to be Sweet Baby James that gets wanded all the time. Now I get wanded. Oh, there's Hannah. This is the perfect scenario for me. You get wanded. I get wanded more than you do.
No.
We went
to visit the Prime Minister. Everybody else was in the back, and I was outside being interrogated for an hour. And everybody was like, Where's Linda? Oh, she's outside being interrogated.
Because you walk off the plane, you're cursing like a sailor, and everybody hears
this
you.
This is before I boarded. I just had gotten there.
And everybody hears you going off, and they're like, why is that crazy woman yelling at people?
First of all, you can say whatever you want on your cell phone.
Okay, it does. Exactly. You can say whatever you want on your cell phone, but don't be surprised if security in Israel is going to pull you over for an hour.
Ms. McLaughlin, are you sure you're in the detail to see the Prime Minister?
But that was the irony. Even though we have all that, my favorite thing is, like, when I'm down in Florida, I took a 6 a.m. JetBlue home from Florida when I was coming back after the Christmas vacation. First thing the guy says, Mr. Hannity, so good to see you. Love your show. Watch every night. Okay, could you please come back to this area with me? We need to go through your bags. And then he took out, I have dry Irish skin, so I had some lotion on. And he took, no, you can't have that, threw that out, threw my water out, threw this out. No problem. I'm sorry. But it's the way it should be. I would go to a school that my kids don't go to anymore, and there was only one entry in the school. The first thing the guy would say, Mr. Hannity, how are you? What's going on? Can I see your ID? Okay, he knows me. He identified me. Okay, out comes the license, takes out the number, gives me a special pass, and I'm on my merry way, you know, going into the school. But, you know, what they're trying to do here is they're trying to get votes, and they're not giving kids real solutions. And the idea that they're convincing them that, if we take away this AR-15 from everybody, this is going to stop this. It's not going to stop it. And then when it happens again, and maybe it's a different weapon, then we'll ban that weapon, and that's not going to stop it. But what could stop it is real security, real threat assessments, real security assessments, real ID systems, and real metal detectors, and real armed people, concealed carry. You don't have to carry, you know, machine guns inside the halls of a school, but concealed carry with trained, retired military and police would make every kid safer, and they won't have to worry about going to school and having some lunatic that they should have picked up because every sign was available, and this idiotic sheriff down there in Broward County, you know, carrying on, well, I did great. I would have stopped him. Well, finally, the court said tomorrow we're going to get the tapes of what actually happened on the outside of that thing. All right, we have some other news. I want to get to the special election. They haven't decided between Conor Lamb, the Democrat, who says he's pro-life, he believes in the Second Amendment, and he likes Donald Trump. Yeah, there's so many Democrats like that in Washington. There's so many of them. And I'm sure that Conor Lamb is really going to live up to that promise when Nancy Pelosi comes a-calling and says, I need your vote. I have a funny feeling that Conor Lamb's not going to be anywhere near there, although the seat's probably not going to exist anyway by November. That's a side note to all this. There's about 3,500 outstanding votes. I think we have two counties now that we maybe Allegheny, and there was one other county, I don't remember, Greenville County or something, that had some issues, and they're checking the machines in those areas. But right now, the Republicans down about 600 votes. Now, there's two ways to look at this. You can put your head in the sand and I think be somewhat ignorant and say, you know, there's no way that this is a preview of coming attractions. And I would argue I don't believe that at all. I think, you know, historically, midterm elections after a presidential election year, the party in the White House gets crushed. I mean, it happened to Bill Clinton. It didn't happen to George Bush, interestingly, but probably 9/11 had something to do with that. And his leadership, his high approval ratings at the time. And it happens, but it usually happens that the party in charge of the White House, they end up losing seats. Now, some people will be quick to misinterpret this and say, well, Donald Trump couldn't pull this guy across the finish line. And Donald Trump had, what, he won by 20 points this particular district. And it's Donald Trump's fault. I don't think it's Donald Trump's fault. I don't think Rick Saccone was a particularly good candidate. The Democrats are not going to run candidates like Conor Lamb that's going to say they're pro-life, pro-gun, and they like Donald Trump. That's not going to happen either in the elections coming up in 2018. So that makes it a little bit of an anomaly. But then there's this other factor here, and that is that people like Sean Hannity have been warning Republicans in the House and more particularly in the Senate that they have been weak, they have been ineffective, they have been spineless. And they're not fighting hard enough to keep their promises. And the greatest evidence we have of all of that was their inability to repeal and replace Obamacare. Now, they did get rid of the employer mandate, which is good. That's a good start. They did pass that tax plan. I think a lot's going to depend on how good the economy is running by the time we get to November of this year. But if I was the Republicans, I'd immediately be supporting the president and funding the wall. If I was the Republicans, I'd do my level best to get rid of the remnants of Obamacare that they can get rid of. I think there are other things that they can do. But if they build 200 or 300 miles of that wall and they fund the wall completely, I think that would go a long way for them to go back to their constituents. Well, we cut your taxes. We supported the president getting rid of regulations. We nominated, if we're in the Senate, we got through an originalist justice to replace Antonin Scalia, Neil Gorsuch, and we moved the country towards energy independence. And how do you like those tax cuts given the average family $2,000-$4,000 on average a year? I think that would be a pretty good thing to run on. But if you have to go home and you're answering questions, why didn't you repeal and replace health care? You have nobody to blame but yourself. And if you have to answer the question, why isn't the wall being built and why haven't you funded the wall, then that's your problem. That's not Donald Trump's problem. So I would take it both ways. I would say, yeah, this is a little bit of a unique situation here, but 20 points is a big margin that Trump won this district. So I would be a little nervous, and I think a little self-introspection might serve them well, and that keeping promises is always good politics. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, interesting comments. Democrats giddy as a result of, no, it's not been certified. It's not 100%. There's going to be a recount, but it looks like the Democrat barely squeaked through last night in this special 18th district in Pennsylvania. And it is an odd happening in the sense that, I mean, the only way a Democrat can win is they got to act like they're a Republican and muddy the waters. I mean, that is an interesting, you know, proposal, interesting way to win. And I'm going to tell the people that voted for Conor Lamb, he's not going to be the person that ran in the campaign because he's not going to be allowed to be that person. And that's not the way. There are very few people that when they get to Washington are able to withstand the pressure and buck the trend and be their own person and stand individually. For example, I disagree with Rand Paul. Rand Paul is opposing as the selection for the new for the new Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. I like Pompeo. I've known Bob Pao for a long time, and I think he's a good choice. And I think he, unlike Rex Tillerson, actually agrees with the president's direction, especially on foreign policy issues. And I think Rex, in more ways, was undermining than you would ever know. Now, what also is pretty interesting here is we have, for the first time ever, a woman that is being appointed to serve as the head of the CIA. And when you look at this woman's background, her name is Gina Haspel, and she's the deputy director of the CIA. Now the left is freaking out because she actually believes in enhanced interrogation, and she believed in these black sites that were operated in a post-9/11 world. Now, if the world wasn't evil, who wants anybody to have to go through waterboarding? There are only three people that we know that were waterboarded, and one of them was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And after the death of 3,000 Americans, well, I thought it was a pretty good idea to try and get information, what you could glean from these people. You know, he was the mastermind of this whole thing in terms of what do they know and maybe we can save lives. Well, anyway, some Democrats are so offended by that, and I do not believe it's torture. I believe it's probably right up to the line. You know, but here's the question you have to ask yourself. Let's say you're in your house and two guys break in and they grab one of your children. And they race out of the house, and you race out after them. And one guy gets away with your kid, and the other guy you tackle. But that guy you tackled has information where your kid is. Where's the line you'd stop at in terms of extracting the information of where the other guy took your kid? All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. We have a lot of news that's coming. Apparently the president's going to have... or it's expected he's going to have a round table coming up at the top of the hour. We're going to watch, monitor, and see if it's worthwhile on the economy, how to get the economy going, how to make things better. It's interesting to watch the president. Now, this omnibus bill is coming up, this big spending bill next week, and the president is pushing to defund sanctuary cities, and that would mean defunding the entire state of California, which I think would be a great idea. I could see maybe Jerry Brown wants to start his own country. We'll call it Brownsville, or call it, what's the Oakland mayor's, what's her name? We'll name it after the Oakland
Libby
mayor.
Schaff.
Libby Schaff, yeah. Anyway, whatever they want to call it. Well, Jerry Brown could be the honoree, he could be the incoming president. And Gavin Newsom won't have his platform to run for president, because he desperately wants to be the president. You know, Moonbeamville, how's that? Moonbeam Brown? But
Laugh with Schaff.
It's
Get
the highest
Brown.
It's the highest taxed state in the country, 13.5%. And the conditions are beautiful. If you want to live in sunny Southern California, I live there. I had no money, but I live there. And I was, you know, it was a great place to live, but there wasn't a whole lot of opportunity for me there. And, you know, then I kind of got run out of town, which was fine. And that led to my radio career actually taking off. But the reality is that they're ruining the great state of California. You hire a liberal like Jerry Brown, you're going to get 13.5% state income taxes. You hire, you know, if you don't want to respect the laws of the land. Remember, I gave the statistics out last week. The whole idea was they wanted to pick up criminal illegal immigrants. And the Oakland mayor goes out and warns the criminals. I'm not talking about illegal immigrants or DACA or Dreamers or even visa lottery winners or chain migration people. They were going after people that committed real crimes in America against Americans. And in many cases, it was violent crimes or it was drug crimes, whatever it happens, drunk driving. 13.5% of the crimes committed are committed by illegal immigrants that only take up 3.5% of the population. I keep citing this security briefing that I sat through in Texas, 642,000 crimes committed against Texans in a 7-year period of time. I don't want to play it. I've been playing it a lot lately. Thank you for the suggestion, though.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought it might be nice for our audience.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much. Nancy Pelosi literally is blasting America's Border Patrol and immigration agents. Now, those are people that risk their lives every day. It's a thankless job. I've been down there on the ground with them a dozen times, and it's their job to pick up people that are in a state of panic. Some are gang members. I was actually there during the arrest. I found out later that the guy they arrested was a known gang member crossing the border. Anyway, Pelosi declared the other day that the work they do is cowardly. Wow. Anyway, acting ICE director Thomas Homan is his name. Had some pretty tough words for her, who accused the Trump administration and ICE agents of carrying out cowardly attacks against the illegal immigrants. I don't understand at any level this whole sanctuary city policy. Because the idea basically is you are, by being a sanctuary city or a sanctuary state, you are aiding and abetting in the committing of a crime. You're an accomplice to a crime. And warning people, well, then you're an accomplice after the fact. Hey, even though you might have committed other crimes, whatever, get out of town because their ICE agents are coming. This is your mayor of Oakland, California. Well, okay, then by aiding and abetting, I thought that was a crime. You know, we talk a lot about something called obstruction of justice, but apparently that only works if you're a conservative or if you're a Republican. We don't apply the laws equally in this country anymore. You know, if you look at some of the statistics, the Migration Policy Institute, 820,000 of the 11 million illegal immigrants in America are convicted criminals. That's a lot of criminals. We're not even talking about, you know, state and local authorities and state crimes and local crimes. The U.S. Sentencing Commission found that illegal immigrants account for 13% of all non-immigrant immigration-related federal sentencing during the fiscal year 2016, but they make up only 3.5% of the population. And that number only relates to federal sentencing. If you start talking about convictions, state and local authorities, it goes higher. So it's pretty shameful. The data is irrefutable. It's right there if they want to look at it. And nobody seems to care. What about the safety of the American people? What about all those Americans in that 7-year period, or those Texans in that 7-year period of time that were victims of crime? What about them? Does anybody care about them at all? Well, I do. I mean, I think if we have the luxury of so many people wanting to be in this country, which we do, we have this luxury, and that is we can pick the best and brightest from all over the world. You know, people that want to be, that have great computer skills or great math skills or great medical skills or great inventors or great builders or great whatever. We have the ability, you know what they do in Australia and New Zealand? They have really tough immigration laws. Basically, you have to spend a ton of money to get citizenship in those countries. You have to prove that you're willing and able to invest in the country and create jobs that are going to help New Zealanders or Australians. Otherwise,
like
you don't get in.
Like a radio show or a TV show?
Oh, why? You want to move to New Zealand or Australia?
Are we talking here about options? I'm interested.
So you would move to Australia or New Zealand if I moved the show there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how. Well, maybe we can
I'd like my office to face the water.
Your office to face the water?
Please.
The water. So we have to move to New Zealand on the water.
That would be lovely.
Water's going to be delicious. Do you drink that water?
Of course.
And you use it to make your coffee with that water?
Absolutely.
And we'll talk on the radio about
it? We'll talk on the radio. I think Australia would love my accent.
Oh, my God. No, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. You know, who's the loudmouth from New York?
Who is this woman?
Who is this woman?
Why did we clear her for this?
Exactly. Who is this person? And they'll look at Sunshine, and they'll think she's one of them because she's, you know, quiet. You don't have a Kiwi accent, though. I love all accents.
No, I can get one, though.
What the hell's a Kiwi accent?
Australians have Australian accents.
Is that what they call them?
Well, what do you want to call them?
I'm not worried about them. They should be worried about me.
They should be worried about me. Yeah, they're listening now.
They won't let her get through TSA. They'll be wanding her for 2 days.
They'll be wanding her forever, and they're going to want. You know what they do in Australia if... Let's say you're coming into the country illegally on boat. They don't let you touch ground. They literally meet you out on the water, and they're going to throw you food. They're going to throw you water. They're going to give you medicine if you need it. If you're really sick and dying, they'll take you. They won't even take you into the country. They'll take you to an off-site island, give you medical care, and then send you on your merry way. And then literally they are escorted back to that which they came from. That's how they do it there.
I don't know how to swim, so I'm not doing any boating.
Who said anything about boating with you?
I wasn't saying you were going boating with me. I was just saying boating in general, like if I tried to enter the country.
You mean you're going to try and... How do you enter those countries illegally?
By boat.
What are you going to... Well, there is... Look, the what do you call the lands where all the kangaroos are?
The Outback?
The Outback.
Lauren had that first.
Maybe you can sneak your way through the Outback. And
with
make your way.
All the snakes and whatnot, you think she's going to be walking around
me?
In her high heels?
Yeah.
I am a city girl through and through.
Yeah.
I don't do dirt.
She'll be there. Why don't I have any cell service? This is outrageous. This is so wrong.
Where's all the water?
Where's all the water? I'm thirsty. Hello, Starbucks. Where's
the
Starbucks?
Coffee?
You know, that's one of the funny things that people don't know about. Like, look, we have gone to every small town and city, and I would get out of New York in 10 seconds if I could. I'd be out of here immediately. Why I'm here paying all these taxes, it's only because I work here and I have to work here. But it is a strange experience. When you go to smaller towns, you can't get food at 2 a.m. In New York, you can get anything at 2 a.m. Anything. Any food you want, it's out there, it's available, and they'll even deliver it. I buy all of you lunch every day, and it always comes across my phone, Grub. Like, I'll know if you guys order sushi.
Thank you so much, by the way.
I'll know. Well, I know the days you order sushi versus the days that you order a salad.
Soup.
Because it's $1.50 or, you know, $18, one or the other. There's no in between. By the way, what a trusting boss I am that you guys all have my credit card and you're allowed to buy anything
you
want.
We buy your lunch on there, too.
Okay, I get the same lunch every day.
Make sure you pay for your lunch and you get what you need.
I go through phases.
You're welcome.
Right now I'm in the egg white phase of my diet, and because I work out every morning, and I don't eat till I get here, and then I won't eat till I get home tonight. Unless I'm really dying and I break down and I have something.
You should eat after you work out.
Okay, I don't. Are you going to start too?
You need protein after you work out.
Okay, that's why
that's
I have egg whites when
muscles.
I get here.
That's too long. You got to eat within 30, 45 minutes of your
workout.
She's
right.
And what rule book is this in?
Every single one.
I don't know. I don't read those
rule
books.
You just became a ninja, okay? You don't know everything yet.
Okay, I've been doing it now for 6 years. 6 long years,
when
and I do it 5 days a week.
When you start eating properly, we'll talk.
Today was firearm training day, and I'm, you know, how to disarm somebody that... In close range, that pulls a firearm on you. How do you disarm them? You want me to show you? I'll show you guys after the show.
Fantastic.
I'll use Ethan as the model.
Are we going to put it on Facebook and Twitter and everything?
Listen, we could. It's the hard. I have said this on the air, and somebody writes an article that I'm an idiot. And I said, I would much rather deal with, if God forbid you have to deal with any of these situations, obviously, with a firearm at close range. Than I would a knife at close range.
Ask any police officer, they would tell you the same thing. So whoever said that about you is a jerk.
All the articles that are nasty towards me that are written by jerks, right? Don't you think?
Correct.
There's a lot of people out there that hate me, and by hating me, they hate all of you, too. Because you're a part of this. Extravaganza.
We take it very personally.
No.
I enjoy it. I look forward to the confrontation.
You know, by the way, if New Jersey and New York want to get out of the union, they can get out too. New Jersey, get this, prepares to raise taxes on almost everything as they near financial disaster.
Lauren just goes, where are we going to live? Where are we going?
No, that's your state of New Jersey. You know that
you just said New York.
Well,
New York, California,
New Jersey public pension system decided that instead of lowering their expected rate of return, they're going to raise it. From 7 to 7.5%. Well, that's a pretty healthy rate of return, and that sounds like a lot of gambling behind the scenes to me. And the reason is that in projected returns, the accounting sleight of hand what they're doing is going to allow the state of New Jersey to save only on the books $238 million in pension contributions as a result of the higher discount rate applied to the fund's liability. So they're basically ripping everybody off by projecting an artificially high 7.5% rate of return. And with a pension funding level of only 37% of fiscal year 2015, I'm glad I'm not counting on the state of New Jersey for my retirement. Why do you think all the wealth is leaving California, Jerry Brown's California? What has happened to this state? This one's great state. I mean, it's being destroyed from within. With high taxes. That's why I'm all for if they want to secede, they can go. There's been a lot of talk of that. And then you can take New York with them. And the only thing I ask Californians or New Yorkers or New Jersey, if you're from there and you're going to move to the Carolinas or Florida or you're going to move to Texas, that's fine. Don't bring your stupid voting patterns with you because you already ruined the state that you're leaving. Don't ruin the state that you're going to. And I think a lot of people would do that. You know, it was a funny story today that Nancy Pelosi, she cast both President Trump's nomination and firing of Rex Tillerson as evidence of Trump's acquiescence to the Russian president, Vladimir Putin. I mean, you can't have it both ways, but that's how insane the media is. Well, I'm running out of time here. All right. Democrats.
In summation, we should move to Australia is what you're saying.
You would move to Australia?
Yes.
Ethan?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yes or no? There's no maybes here. This is the most interesting question. Jason, there's no Coyote Ugly there. Got to warn you.
Ooh, I'm not sure about that. I have to do some research.
Maybe you can build it and own it and franchise it.
Boy, would you give me that kind of power? I just have to get used to
would
the
you go or not?
In the other direction. That's very weird for me.
Toilets facing the other direction.
Flushing.
Flushing. It's a joke. Ha ha.
Okay.
The water flushes in the other direction.
Would you go or not?
Yeah, Australia's nice. I could.
You'd
see
move
that,
Sunshine. Would you move there?
Of course, I would.
Well, you have to get Romeo to agree to that. Who's in charge of the family?
He is, and he would go.
He would go. Oh, he doesn't want to miss his sister.
Would you go?
I don't know if she's bringing the whole freaking family with her.
I'm bringing the McLaughlin effect. It's going to be fantastic. You
know, if the matriarchs of the McLaughlin family are coming, there's no man that on the face of this earth that can handle all that crap. Oh my God, could you imagine? There's nobody that can handle it. Although Linda's mom likes me better than her. All right, when we come back, we expect the president is going to be speaking and having a little bit of a town hall. If he does, we'll carry that for you straight ahead.
Dangerous criminal and terrorist organizations relentlessly seek to exploit our immigration system. I've just come from a trip to the border where I met with our wonderful border agents. Border Patrol and the ICE agents, unbelievable people, and reviewed prototypes of a new physical wall that will protect our border and protect our country. But that wall will stop so much. And we looked at the different prototypes, and it was fascinating. And we have two or three that really work. We had people trying to scale. We've done them every way. You know, I'm a builder. What I do best is build. Okay? I think Governor Brown's done a very poor job running California. They have the highest taxes in the United States. The place is totally out of control. You have sanctuary cities where you have criminals living in the sanctuary cities. And then the mayor of Oakland goes out and notifies when ICE is going in to pick them up. And many of them were criminals with criminal records and very dangerous people. You would say dangerous people. And I think the governor's doing a terrible job running the state of California.
No hate, no fear. Immigrants are welcome here.
Do we have an immigration problem in the United States?
No. The world, human beings have wandered the world since forever, since they crawled out of the swamps.
I immigrated 40-something years ago from one of those whole countries of Trump's. I'm a very proud American. I'm here exercising my right to disagree with them.
I remember when you could just walk across back and forth to, Tijuana and San Diego. And I think things were better then.
Hear me loud, hear me clear. Trump, you're not welcome here.
I think Donald Trump is the most dangerous thing to happen to our country. I hate to say it, since World War II and Hitler.
Yeah, Donald Trump's worse than radical Islamic terrorism and 9/11. He's worse than Hitler. And that we actually sent people to these anti-Trump protests as he was looking at these border wall prototypes yesterday. You know, one other addition to what we were talking about in the last half hour, and speaking of Governor Jerry Brown, you know, he was saying earlier today that California is the most prosperous state in the nation. Well, that's news to the Los Angeles Times, because recently they reported that on Jerry Brown's watch, California has become the most impoverished state in America. Oh, let me read from the L.A. Times. Guess which state has the highest poverty rate in the country? Not Mississippi, not New Mexico or West Virginia, but California, where nearly one out of five residents is poor, according to the Census Bureau's supplemental poverty measure, which factors in the cost of housing, food, utilities, clothing, and which includes non-cash government assistance as a form of income. It's not as though California policymakers have neglected to wage the war on poverty. Sacramento and local governments have spent massive amounts of money on the cause. You have several state and municipal benefit programs overlapping one another in some cases. Individuals with incomes 200% above the poverty line in terms of what they receive in benefits. And then the article goes on. In fact, according to the Census Bureau, California, with just 12% of the American population, is home today to more than 30% of the nation's welfare recipients. The generous spending, however, has not only failed to decrease poverty, it actually seems to have made it worse. Isn't that interesting, California? 12% of the population, 30% of the nation's welfare recipients, and the highest state income tax in the country. Now, here's my question. Is it possible for Florida and Texas? How do they get away with no state income tax, lower property taxes? They don't have as high a tax on anything. How do these states function as well as they do with better roads, better infrastructure than states like New York, New Jersey, and California and Illinois? How's it possible? Because you have politicians that are responsible and politicians that don't misappropriate money the way they do in Sacramento and Albany and Trenton, New Jersey. It's really simple. And whatever they're doing, and that's why I say, if you're from California, don't move to Texas and take your liberal ideology with you, because you already ruined the state you're coming from. Or if you live in New York or New Jersey or Illinois, don't go down to Florida and ruin that state. Or certainly don't go to the Carolinas and ruin those states where people are moving to. And why? Because it's cheaper to live there. The housing prices are cheaper. The taxes are lower. Living conditions are better. I mean, you can't lose. And the weather's better on top of everything. Well, not in the case of California. Anyway, we had a lot of key findings come out. We have Jessica Vaughn is joining us, along with Chris Cabrera, who is a spokesperson for the National Border Patrol Council. And with the president going to the border and the lack of border security and the threat that it poses the whole country, and you had all these people that we just played protesting for you, and literally you got all these, you know, in many instances, we found, what, 506 MS-13 members were arrested and charged with crimes that were reported in 22 states, and the most cases were reported in California, 92, Maryland, 85, New York, 80, and Virginia, 63. And we've got all sorts of problems associated with crime, drugs, etc., because of the drug trafficking and the cartels that push it into America. And I've been hawking this new show I found on Showtime called Trade. I urge everybody to watch it, and it shows you the heroin production that goes on in Mexico. And the fact that anybody would ever watch this and ever risk taking this crap into their body, but then it's purposely marketed in every small town and big city in America. And they're making billions off of this. Anyway, Jessica Vaughn, thank you for being with us. I talked about the 642,000 Texans that were victims of crime in a seven-year period. And when I asked Jorge Ramos about it, he didn't want to hear it. He didn't believe it.
Well, this runs against their narrative that immigration is an unqualified good for our country and that there's no downside to illegal immigration in particular. And, you know, California is a perfect example, as you pointed out, of why this isn't so. It causes enormous problems, not only for public safety, but by distorting the labor market, and it's an enormous fiscal burden. The National Academy of Sciences has found that every illegal alien imposes a lifetime net fiscal drain of more than $65,000 per illegal alien on American taxpayers for services that they use and other costs that illegal immigration brings. And this is one of the main reasons we need to control our border and do something about illegal immigration, and why the president needs support for that from Congress and funding for his agenda, because it's going to pay for itself in just a few years by slowing down illegal immigration Chris, and there is no cost we can put on the cost of crimes committed by illegal aliens. You know, the lives of anyone who is harmed by a criminal alien, that's priceless. So,
let me ask Chris Cabrera this question as the national spokesman for the Border Patrol in the country, Border Patrol Council. What did you think of Nancy Pelosi's remarks saying that the Trump administration and ICE agents are carrying out, quote, cowardly attacks on illegal immigrants?
Well, you know, unfortunately, I think she's, I'm not trying to insult the woman, but I don't think she's all there anymore. I think she's lacking some facilities up there. You know, to call law enforcement officers cowards for going out there and doing their job. Anytime you have to explain to your kid why you wear a bulletproof vest and wear a gun to work, I think that's just the exact opposite of cowardly. You're going out there to protect others. These people, their only crime wasn't coming across the border. They had committed other crimes besides crossing into the country illegally. And it just shows you how detached from reality she actually is.
What is your thoughts on this Oakland mayor who keeps going out there and encouraging lawbreaking and aiding and abetting criminal illegal immigrants? In other words, those who have committed other crimes that ICE agents are trying to find.
You know, it's ridiculous. She's looking after people that don't even belong in the country, and she's putting the taxpayers and the other folks that are the victims of these crimes at risk. By not having these folks removed. If you have a violent criminal, whether they're a U.S. citizen or a non-U.S. citizen, you owe it to the people of this country as a law enforcement officer to do your best to get them out of the country. And this mayor of Oakland I think she should be arrested.
Well, I mean, if I committed a crime, if I'm obstructing justice or I'm aiding and abetting lawbreaking, why do I think that Hannity would be perp walked and handcuffed and mugshotted and put in a cell and the key thrown away for life, probably? I mean, it's.
And I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to come to your aid either. So.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to come. I think I'm going to be out there all by. I'm not going to have a single friend in the world at that point. Not one person will bring me a cake with a file, Jessica.
Well, there are two sets of rules in California, one for illegal aliens and one for everybody else. Everyone else is subject to the law. Illegal aliens, people look the other way at their crimes and at their responsibility to work with federal enforcement to keep everybody safe. And I don't think those protesters were particularly representative of the views of all Californians. I mean, a lot of citizens have fled California, but there are also people there who are fighting, and they want to see something done about sanctuary policies. There have been some polls that show that as much as more than three-quarters of Californians think there should be consequences for sanctuary policies and for the officials who do things like this Oakland mayor did and what some judges have done in other parts of the country to let illegal aliens out the side door when ICE is waiting at the front door. And because they know that this affects the safety of everyone, and it's common sense that those illegal aliens who are here committing crimes ought to be top of the list for deportation, and that ICE needs the cooperation, and Border Patrol, too, needs the cooperation of local authorities to do that important work, and it's illegal for them to thwart that. So I hope that there will be some action taken. I'm delighted to see that the Department of Justice is taking legal action against California.
But you know what's going to happen.
They're trying to get an initiative together to.
Well, the president's trying to defund sanctuary cities in next week's spending bill. And why am I pretty confident that Republicans are going to cave? Well, we can't do it now. We can't make it part of the spending bill, the omnibus. They're going to back off like they always do. Because Democrats
I'm afraid that's possible. You know, the results of this recent vote on a DACA compromise that included some other important reforms, that really did not work out well. And now we could see that how many members of the Senate, including Republicans, are not willing to take care of this serious problem for citizens that they represent. I think that they are just intimidated by the advocacy groups that call them names and that they think that they, you know, are not going to be held accountable for those views. But of all the provisions in those bills that were considered a few weeks ago in the Senate, the one that took care of sanctuary jurisdictions actually did get a decent number of votes and even some Democrats to vote for it, the ones who are at risk of losing their seats potentially, or, you know, understood that they needed to vote for that. But we'll have to see what happens.
All right. I want to thank you both for being with us. We really appreciate it. And thanks for all you guys do out there every day. We're still waiting to see if the president has this meeting. If he does, we'll follow it with you. We expect, it's running about 20 minutes late. We'll go to that at the bottom of the half hour. We're going to be checking in. Who's coming up in the next half hour? Oh, we're going to look into this Pennsylvania 18 race. And we have Jeff Lord and Rose Tennant are going to join in. All right, Sean Hannity Show. So the president is in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to dip in and after the news at the bottom of this half hour as it relates to what he's talking about, more about the economy. There's talks about more potential changes in the cabinet, et cetera. A lot of rumors running around right now. I'll let you know if anything is forthcoming. Larry Kudlow did get Gary Cohn's position. Let's say hi to Ann in Virginia. Ann, you're on the Sean Hannity Show. Hi.
Hi, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I live in Virginia now, but I'm originally from the San Francisco Bay Area, and luckily I fell in love with someone that brought me out to Virginia. However,
wow.
my entire family...
Did I just
I
lose you?
A couple of us live in the mountains.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? A couple of them live in the mountains in a very conservative area of California, but honestly, I don't know why they stay. And it's turned into a horrible place to live. I haven't been back in 7 years, and my parents are elderly. They're 87 and 91, and I dread the day that I have to go back out there for them. It's just such a horrible place to live, and I don't know why people want to live there anymore.
Well, I mean, look at the poverty rate. It's higher than – it's 30%, 12% of the population. Unbelievable. You know, there was a Washington Examiner report, one thing Jerry Brown can claim bragging rights to. And it's so sad when it comes to human sex trafficking. Well, California leads the nation. Washington Times reported that, you know, human trafficking, especially in sex and labor trades, jumped again last year, has surged 842% since the creation of a federally funded support hotline for victims. I mean, reported cases of human trafficking continue to increase each year. I mean, because they don't do anything about it. But they're taking 13.5% of your income on top of your federal income tax, with the highest state income tax in the country. All right, when we come back, the president roundtable happening now in St. Louis, Missouri. We're going to dip into that. We'll get to more of your calls. And then we've got Sarah Carter, Dan Bongino, and David Schoen checking in as well. Apparently, crazy Alec Baldwin hates Harrison Ford because he lost the position after Hunt for Red October to Harrison Ford. 25 years later, holding a grudge. Sounds like Alec. All right, we're headed to Missouri, St. Louis now, as the president is meeting with local leaders, business people, as it relates to tax reform, job creation. Let's dip in and listen.
And I keep telling these countries, no, you have to buy American. I want you to buy American. You know, we help people, we help countries, we give aid to countries. I say, where do you buy your equipment? Oh, we buy from other countries. I said, what about buying from the United States? Well, we haven't been doing that. Now they do it. So we want them to buy, and we also make the best product. We also make the best product. And you know what? If we didn't make the best product, I wouldn't ask them to do it. But we make by far the best fighter jets. We make the best there is in the military world, and mostly the best there is in almost any world. And we're coming back and doing it more so than we've ever done before. We're setting records. I want to just say the F-18, one of my favorite planes, to me it's a work of art, is you look at the workers, you look at the talent that went into it. We just looked at different versions of it. It is spectacular. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Just a few years ago, this plant was in very serious danger of shutting down, and we've got it going again. And I think probably going maybe like it's never gone before, right? Doing better than it's ever done before. But I'm proud to say we kept it open, keeping thousands of Americans employed right here in St. Louis, Missouri.
Great place. Place that was very good to me. The state of Missouri was very good to me, I'll tell you. And I think Josh is doing a fantastic job. I can tell you that he's working hard. Just met him at the plane. We're going out of our way. We've asked Congress to fund 24 brand new F-18s, and that's going to be the latest and the greatest. Stealth, a lot of things on that plane that people don't even know about anymore. It's a whole different version of the plane. So we're looking for 24 brand new ones. We're working on price, and maybe we can work out a good price. Otherwise, we're going to buy them from somebody else. But it'll all be in the United States, right? I don't know. I have a feeling. What do you think, Dennis? We're going to make a deal?
We'll find a way.
We'll find a way. We're going to find a way. But it is wonderful to be back in this great state and to push all of the historic tax cuts. You know, this was about the first place I announced that we were going to be asking for massive tax cuts, and everybody said it'll never happen, hasn't happened since Ronald Reagan to any scale, and it didn't even come close since then. And we got it not only passed, but bigger than anything ever passed in the history of our country. And we're now going for a phase two. We're actually going for a phase two, which will help, in addition to the middle class, will help companies, and it's going to be something I think very special. Kevin Brady's working on it with me. Congress is working. The Senate's working. And unfortunately, on the original, we didn't have one Democrat vote, which is pretty incredible. And now they're regretting it. But we're going to do a phase two, and it's going to be something I think that will really be a big incentive to do a lot of things just like we're doing right here, and a tremendous incentive for the workers. 6 months ago, I promised that we would cut taxes to bring Main Street roaring all the way back, and we did. We helped Wall Street. We helped Main Street. We helped everybody. And all of that money that went into the pockets of people, thousands and thousands of dollars each, they're very, very happy about. We created 300,000 jobs in February. That's getting to be a number that nobody would have believed, 300,000 jobs. And really importantly, we've created almost 3 million jobs since Election Day. And if somebody would have said that that was going to happen, they would have said, that's not possible. And, you know, the candidate, I wouldn't have said it. You would have lost all credibility in running. But we created almost 3 million, and in fact, it's now over. It's going to be very shortly over 3 million jobs since Election Day, a number that is just nobody would have believed that could have happened. So we're very proud of it. New jobless claims are down to a 50-year low. 50 years new job claims. So we have nobody seen that. And jobless claims went down at a record pace over the last year and since the Election Day, but they're down now to a 50-year low. A typical family in this area, as an example, earning $75,000 a year will see their tax bill slashed in half. So they'll take home money and they can spend it or save it or do whatever they want to do with it. And now the banks are getting stronger and a lot of good things are happening, and they'll actually start getting a little interest on their money. And that's okay, too, if you don't want to invest in the stock market. That's good, because for a while people were putting their money in the bank and getting no interest. And that really hurt a lot of families, especially families that saved. You know, people were saving all their lives. And then for a long period of time, they'd like to put their money in a bank and get interest, and they weren't getting interest on their money. And now they're getting interest on their money. So it's another way. And the 401ks are up 30, 40, in some cases much higher than that percent for the year, and more than that from Election Day. So it's been really something great. So a lot of people are very happy. Families right here in Missouri will save more than $4 billion in taxes. And that's just for this year alone, $4 billion right in Missouri. And millions of workers are getting more bonuses, higher wages, and more take-home pay. I mean, they're going to have a lot more in terms of pay. And you know what? If they want to work here, they can work here. If they want to go, this is bad news for Dennis. I shouldn't say this. But
If they want to go someplace else, they can go someplace else. People are having job alternatives now. They're able to go out and work where they want. Now, I don't think anybody will ever leave Boeing, but, you know, just in case they should want to. So I'm not so sure. I'm not sure Dennis wants to hear that. He wants to keep them here. But the fact is, they're having 4, 5, 6 job offers now, whereas before they had none. And that's really something that's special. So we have with us today a great group of people, great business owners. We have employees of the firm. We have a lot of tremendous people. And I think what I'd like to do is maybe quickly go around the room, say exactly who you are, what you do. I know you all love Boeing and you love Missouri. But maybe we could start, and we'll start with the Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, Mr. President. Welcome to Missouri, and on behalf of all the employers in this great state, welcome to our state. I know we're talking about taxes today, but your regulatory relief, the work on health insurance, and igniting the debate on infrastructure has been very, very helpful. There's a lot of optimism around those three things. But the tax relief in particular has Missouri humming again. And a story that directly impacts the Missouri Chamber, we hired a 22-year-old fresh out of college last October. And this year in calendar 18, as a result of the tax relief, she will save $954. $954 extra dollars go into her pocket. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much.
We hear stories like that from all around the state, from small, medium, and large employers that you'll hear today.
And a great job you do with the chamber. We appreciate
it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Mr. President, David Turner. I'm Chairman CEO of Hawthorne Bank and Hawthorne Bank Shares, a publicly traded community bank headquartered in Jefferson City, Missouri. We are a $1.4 billion bank with 348 employees and 21 banking centers in the central and western part of Missouri. As a result of the tax relief, we were able to give a $1,000 bonus to all of our employees, a $500 bonus to our part-time employees. In addition to that, Mr. President, we've got a profit-sharing plan.
Great.
So in the future, our employees will continue to benefit from what you did in your leadership role to get that tax relief passed, and I thank you very much.
Well, you know, the banking business has been a tough business, and with all of the regulation and all of the problems, and we want strong regulation, but we want it to make sense. And as you know, the banks are doing much better now, and they're able to loan, but we have a big one coming up. We have a bipartisan bill that hopefully will be voted on very shortly on Dodd-Frank. And very important amendments, especially for the smaller banks and the community banks. And I think it's going to be a very special bill for you. Are you following that?
Yes, I am. I actually thought it might pass today.
It might pass today. In fact, it could pass by the end of this meeting. Maybe we'll say, guess what?
Let's hope
it just passed. But I think it's going to be very popular, and it's really for the smaller banks. But they needed help, and we're very honored.
And it's refreshing.
So loan a lot of money out to great customers, okay?
Pardon?
You'll be able to now loan money to great customers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Good.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, President Trump. My name's Kevin Purs, and I work at Dynamic Fasteners. We sell fasteners and power tools to the commercial industry with a primary emphasis of metal buildings. My background is I'm a nerdy engineer, so I'm completely out of my element in this room right now. But I'm very appreciative that I got invited, so thank you for that.
But you have a very good company. I know about your company. Very good job you've done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I'm Mary Beth Hartman, and I have a union highway construction company. It's very small. We have 30 employees. But immediately upon you being elected as president, my whole mindset as an employer changed. And I started at that moment operating in a way that I believed tax cuts would be happening, and they did. And that translated into an upgrade of all the fleets for my 7 foremen.
Great.
I spent over $500,000 in new equipment this year, which was something I was always afraid to do. everyone received, they're all union employees, so they have a very good benefit package already. But I gave them an additional week's vacation for my tenured employees, which was very meaningful to them and to all my management. And then they all received at least $500 at Christmas, some of them as much as $2,500, depending on what their ranking was. So the biggest thing I thought, for 10 years, my employees that were union were very concerned about their pension fund. It had been underfunded for over 10 years. And when I talked to them last week, they are now at 94% funded, with the expectation that they're going to be 100% funded by the year 2020.
That's true. That's
and
right.
So we are very big supporters of yours and our company, and we are so grateful for the work that you've done, and you've only just started. So thank you for everything.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. And you had your best year.
My best year in 17
that's what
years.
I've heard.
Absolutely.
A lot of
by
people
far.
Are saying it. They've had the best year by far that they've ever had. So that's what we want to hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, Chad Devaney with the Kansas City Southern Railway, headquartered in Kansas City, Missouri. I'd like to thank you for your leadership with the tax reform. Once the passage, it was perfect timing. Our executive team did give all of our employees a $1,000 bonus. Perfect timing with the right at Christmas season, which several of the employees were very grateful for, with the needs for their family during that time. Heard many great stories, such as medical bills, just repairs needed to automobiles, vehicles. So thank you for your leadership with
thank
the
you. Tax
reform.
Thank you very much.
Mr. President, I'm Pat Ottensmeyer. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of Kansas City Southern. Chad is one of our leaders in the field. He runs about half of our U.S. railroad. We're one of the nation's largest freight railroads, based in Kansas City, as our name implies, about 7,000 miles, 7,000 employees, big presence in Missouri. So the tax reform was wonderful for our business, our company. As you, I'm sure, understand, the railroad industry is hugely capital intensive. Our company spends about 24% of our revenue in capital assets, track, infrastructure, equipment. In addition to the tax rate relief, the immediate expensing of capital expenditures is going to make it possible for us to continue to invest at that level and create jobs and grow and serve our customers. And one of the success stories recently that I'm sure you're aware of is U.S. Steel has a plant not too far here in Granite City. Chad and his team actually serve that plant, and we're starting to move freight out of that facility and create jobs for them and for us.
All right, this is the president. He's got a meeting with local business people, St. Louis, Missouri, and they're discussing, obviously, job creation, part two of what the president wants to advance with his tax policies and burdensome regulation and everything associated with it. We might go back to it a little bit, and then we're going to be checking in with Sarah Carter, Dan Bongino, and David Schoen. But to keep our Cox Station affiliates happy, I've got to take a break here. All right, reports that on the eve of him receiving his pension, Andrew McCabe, the former deputy FBI director, is not going to get anything, that he is on the verge of getting fired. And we're monitoring this story very, very closely. Now, other news today, our good friend Larry Kudlow joining the White House, replacing Gary Cohn, which is great news. Remember, I had Kudlow on, and Kudlow was urging Gary Cohn to stay. And I'm like, no, you ought to take that job. And lo and behold, I was not the only person that was thinking along those lines. I had no idea it was being considered at the time when I said it. But that is a good choice by the president. His book about Reagan and Kennedy and economic growth, a phenomenal. All right, quick break. Right back. Sarah Carter, Dan Bongino, David Schoen next.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload
in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
What do you got hard?
Well, Chris, unfortunately, I can't go into the evidence that's being presented.
Do you have something hard that you can't reveal?
I can't reveal that, Chris. Of course, there's one thing to say there's evidence. There's another thing to say we can prove a reasonable doubt, or there's enough evidence to bring to a grand jury for purposes of a criminal indictment. I don't think we can say anything definitively at this point. We are still at the very early stage of the investigation.
Last March, you said you had more than circumstantial evidence of treasonous collusion with Russia. What specifically were you referring to? And please be specific, because if it's true, I do believe Americans have the right to know a year later what that is.
Well, I've certainly certainly said that there's ample evidence of collusion. I've never used the word treason. Only Steve Bannon has used that word. But if you look at the facts that are already in the public domain, they're pretty damning. We are going to do our best to continue our work. There are individuals who want to cooperate with our committee and share information, and will continue to do so. We will be putting together a report that will set out for the country what evidence we have seen to date, what evidence we have seen in terms of the Russian hacking and dumping operation, what evidence we have seen in terms of the Russian social media campaign, their paid media campaign, and, yes, the issue of collusion with the Trump campaign. There is significant evidence, much of it in the public domain, on the issue of collusion. The secret meetings with George Papadopoulos, the secret meeting at Trump Tower with the president's son and son-in-law and campaign chairman, the lies and dissembling about that meeting, the promises by Russia that were communicated to the highest levels of the campaign in the preview, in the run-up to that meeting, that this was part of the Russian government's effort to help Donald Trump by providing derogatory information on Hillary Clinton. And, of course, the secret conversations that then-acting National Security Advisor or incoming National Security Advisor Mike Flynn had with the Russian ambassador to undermine the bipartisan policy of the United States, conversations that he lied about, that other transition officials were evidently aware of, that the vice president misrepresented unknowingly to the country. All of that bears on the issue of collusion.
Yeah, all of it on the collusion issue. They have no evidence of collusion. Nobody's presented any evidence. So now after they find none, then they say, well, we'll reopen this as soon as we can. Adam Schiff actually making a promise to reopen the Russiagate investigation if the Democrats retake the House. Why? Because the House collusion investigation has ended, and rightly so, because they have found nothing, and it's been a 14-month ordeal at this particular point in time. That's only part of the news today. Big part of the news is that Andrew McCabe may get fired before his time is up, according to reports now today, and that's pretty interesting. Maybe this is a preview of what's going to be coming out in the IG report. Joining us now, Sarah Carter, Fox News contributor, investigative reporter. David Schoen is with us, civil rights criminal defense attorney. Dan Bongino, former Secret Service agent, NRA TV contributor, and host of the Dan Bongino Show. Welcome, all of you. Sarah, let's start with you. And first, let's start with McCabe and what's happening with him today. And where is this coming from all of a sudden from the AG?
Yeah, this is really fascinating. I mean, we're looking at McCabe has until Sunday, right? And then he'll be able to collect on his retirement. And right now what we're hearing from media reports, and I've contacted some sources of mine as well, is that there's a great possibility that McCabe will be fired before he can do that. So this will then change everything. It also changes what may be coming out in that IG report. There may be some very incriminating evidence that has been collected by Michael Horowitz against McCabe. We already know that McCabe's being looked at for lying and for leaking. So there's a couple of major issues at play here. I did speak with the Department of Justice, and they gave me an official statement. They said that the department follows a prescribed process by which an employee may be terminated. That process includes recommendations from career employees, and no termination decision is final until the conclusion of that process. We have no personal announcements at this time. So they are not denying that McCabe is being looked into. They are saying that there is a process that must be contended with, and then they will base that decision and make an announcement.
It sounds like one's coming. Otherwise, why would it be leaking, right?
That's right. Absolutely.
Yeah. David Schoen, you know, what's interesting and fascinating about this is, you know, we still have all of these people that are working, and one has to wonder why, especially people like Peter Strzok and Lisa Page that are still there. And then I want to know in particular, what is their connection to Rod Rosenstein and all of this also?
I think you're asking the right question, Mr. Hannity. Absolutely. There's absolutely no justification for these people still to be in this business, period. What has been exposed so far is as outrageous as anything one might imagine in this field. I don't know why we're keeping that status quo. And, you know, we haven't even touched on the idea of the foxes who are watching this hen house. And that is, again, Mr. Weissman, Mr. Mueller, It's really beyond belief.
It seems, Dan Bongino, that when you listen to Adam Schiff, and I actually thought Meghan McCain just tore him up on The View the other day. And, well, you said we were getting all this information. Tell us what it is. What do you have? You keep making these allegations. Where is it? And this was prior to the House Intel Committee saying, okay, the investigative part of Trump-Russia collusion is over, and we found no evidence of such.
Yeah, Sean, Adam Schiff is a disgrace. He's a disgrace to his constituents, to the country. He's a disgrace to the Congress. Frankly, he's a disgrace to humankind. He's a liar. He's a sniveling rat. And he goes on to television and he goes on to CNN and he's auditioning for a job on CNN or MSNBC, trying to bump up their lagging ratings. And he lies. You know, I get it. You know, a lot of invective probably doesn't help this case, but I mean every word of that. The guy's a snake. Everything he said in that soundbite when you opened up, he knows is a lie. And yet he goes on television and he lies about it over and over again. He knows damn well that that Don Trump Jr. meeting, however bad of an idea it was, point stipulated, there is not a scintilla of evidence that anything that happened in that meeting is in any way remotely collusion or criminal. It was a bad idea. But Sean, one last thing on this. You don't have a secret meeting, by the way, at Trump Tower. You do it out in like the woods somewhere, and you don't share the contents of it on email. It was not a secret meeting. It was just a bad idea. That guy's a liar.
I've never believed, Sarah, either, that it was a coincidence that Fusion GPS, one of the co-founders, is meeting with this Russian woman who did meet at Trump Tower both before and after the meeting. Sounds to me like there was some type of setup involved in that, or a coincidence that is just it just doesn't meet the smell test for me.
No, it doesn't. And I was just going to say that Dan's absolutely right about that meeting. I would have taken it one step further, Dan, and I would have said the collusion looked like it was between Fusion GPS and the Russians.
Yes.
And Natalia Veselnitskaya, who was the attorney who represented, let's go back to some of her history, the FSB, which is the KGB's CIA. I mean, it was the former KGB. I mean, so she was working with FSB agents. She was representing them. She also worked with Renaissance Capital. Remember Renaissance Capital, which is also tied to the FSB, which paid Bill Clinton $500,000 for a speech he gave. And there's a lot of connections here that should be more evident. I mean, those are the side, that side of the evidence is what should be investigated, which is the reason why you see so many people up in arms. There has been no evidence of collusion between President Trump's campaign, President Trump, his family, and the Russians at all that anyone has found yet. And this has been more than 14 months of investigation, and Adam Schiff cannot let this go. And others, former Obama administration officials, can't seem to let it go either.
But doesn't it seem, Brennan,
tweeted it out yesterday, and I said, well, give us the proof then. You are the head of the CIA. Cough up the proof.
It seems that everything, though, has ricocheted and boomeranged back onto the Democrats, because every time we move further, well, as a result, we discovered that, in fact, there was an exoneration of Hillary on the email server scandal. I assume at some point we get to the bottom of that, David. And then we learn, of course, we didn't know for a year, but then we find out, well, the dossier was bought and paid for by Clinton. And then we find out about all the FISA abuses as it relates to, you know, presenting information to a court that's unverified, not corroborated, and, of course, false.
And on and on. And as you have said before, Mr. Hannity, maybe one of the biggest scandals, certainly in many, many years that we've seen. But the reason it keeps boomeranging, of course, is because this is like backwards or upside down day. Had anyone in the real world been presented with all of these facts, the immediate investigation would have been on Steele and Page and GPS Fusion and all that went on that side. Instead, we're working backwards now and stumbling onto these things. And as Sarah has just said, I mean, these are really the outrageous facts.
I agree. And it's a matter of how is it possible that Robert Mueller doesn't investigate? If part of his mandate is to look at collusion in the campaign, and now that we've discovered that Hillary paid for this phony dossier with Russian lies and Russian propaganda, you know, where's the obligation on the part of Robert Mueller, Dan Bongino, that he look into that, or that he look into the FISA abuse side of this?
Sean, Mueller thing is a smokescreen. Trump was set up. The team was framed. They need Mueller because they can't have people pay attention to what the guy the team was set up.
Sean, look at the three people who interact with the Trump team, right? And we're sources of information in this. Sergey Milyon, the inventor of the golden shower story. He randomly connects with Papadopoulos and then finds Fusion GPS. Emin Agalarov, the Agalarov guys that send the email and set up the Don Jr. meeting. They randomly send a lawyer who's working with Fusion GPS, working for Hillary. And one more guy, Alexander Downer. He's associated with the Australian government in a $25 million deal to the Clinton Foundation. He's the one who starts the whole investigation into Trump. Listen, general public, open your eyes. The guy was framed, and the Mueller investigation's a smokescreen. It's the whole thing's a scam.
All right, we got
to. It's a dangerous smokescreen, though. It's a dangerous smokescreen because it puts in jeopardy a duly elected president, a year, more than 14 months of an investigation, and the United States is more partisan than ever and split straight down the middle. And it's a very dangerous smokescreen, and it was a very dangerous game.
We'll take a break. We'll come back more with David Schoen, Sarah Carter, Dan Bongino. All right, as we continue with Sarah Carter and David Schoen and Dan Bongino, David, I just ask you, how is it possible that we're up to this point, 14 months of an investigation, Democrats have no evidence, they don't want to let it go, but we do know that a FISA court was lied to, we do know that they withheld information about who paid for that dossier, we do know the fix was in for Hillary Clinton as it relates to the email server scandal, and we know, and we actually have real evidence. The media never talks about it in this country. You know, I feel like, you know, there's all of us here, and then there's this alternative reality that these other people live in that is not full of truth, evidence, or any sense of what law and justice is.
Alternative reality, unfortunately, hits it right on the head. Listen, I mean, you know, you've had this discussion before, and I think quite rightly so. I hate to say these words because we've seen now this special counsel go down every rabbit trail, cost us millions and millions, and God only knows how many millions of dollars chasing irrelevant avenues. But the fact of the matter is, it seems to me, there's going to have to be another special counsel appointed. You asked earlier, Mr. Hannity, why Mr. Mueller isn't investigating Clinton, et cetera. We certainly don't want that to be the case. Look, the IG is a wonderful guy, a longtime friend of mine. He's an honest man. He's overworked right now. He's got a lot on his plate and a lot of
pressure. Yeah, but he doesn't have any prosecutorial powers. He has no power to do anything.
That's right, and that's an important point. To go back to Maine Justice and ask people there who've been involved in this conflict all along and have many conflicting interests is wrong, in my view.
Well, how do we interpret, Sarah, that the AG announced last week that he has – in fact, a couple of months now, hired a former prosecutor to be looking into FISA abuse issues. How are we to interpret what's actually going on at the Justice Department when a lot of people are frustrated because it seems like nothing is happening?
Well, it seems like nothing is happening because we're not getting all the information from the Justice Department because this is an ongoing investigation. So one thing that we can take some solace in is that there is a prosecutor out there looking at every nook and cranny of this FISA abuse, as well as the uranium one, as well as the dossier. So they are looking at all of these issues, and they will make those recommendations then to the AG. And those recommendations will be to either seek prosecution, to open a case, to call for a special counsel. We don't even know right now, Sean, if a grand jury has already been convened in some of this. Because remember, this is very tight-lipped. We're getting a lot of leaks from Mueller, of course, and from his investigation. But remember, these are considered very classified. They don't want to talk about grand juries, even if they're convened. So we really don't know what's going on. What we do know now from the Attorney General himself is that there is a prosecutor looking into this, and this is highly, highly significant and very, very important. And I believe that we will soon know who that prosecutor is.
All right. It's going to be interesting. We're looking forward to it. It's about time we get some movement here. 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Wide open phones coming up at the bottom of this half hour and much more straight ahead. This is the Sean Hannity Show. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour, 800-941-SEAN. We'll get to your calls here in a second. Adam Schiff has like emerged as this, you know, rabid, media-loving, wannabe MSNBC conspiracy theorist in his own right. And, you know, he goes out there, and if we get control of Congress, I am going to restart this investigation. We'll be releasing our own report, all things that he has said in the last 24 hours. Here's Adam Schiff. But by the way, it's the same guy that got spoofed about that phony radio show from Russia.
We are going to do our best to continue our work. There are individuals who want to cooperate with our committee and share information, and will continue to do so. We will be putting together a report that will set out for the country what evidence we have seen to date, what evidence we have seen in terms of the Russian hacking and dumping operation, what evidence we have seen in terms of the Russian social media campaign, their paid media campaign, and, yes, the issue of collusion with the Trump campaign. There is significant evidence, much of it in the public domain, on the issue of collusion. The secret meetings with George Papadopoulos, the secret meeting at Trump Tower with the president's son and son-in-law and campaign chairman. The lies and dissembling about that meeting, the promises by Russia that were communicated to the highest levels of the campaign in the preview, in the run-up to that meeting, that this was part of the Russian government's effort to help Donald Trump by providing derogatory information on Hillary Clinton. And, of course, the secret conversations that then acting National Security Advisor or incoming National Security Advisor Mike Flynn had with the Russian ambassador to undermine the bipartisan policy of the United States. Conversations that he lied about, that other transition officials were evidently aware of, that the vice president misrepresented unknowingly to the country. All of that bears on the issue of collusion.
And we also know who was a mediator between Trump and Russian government, who met with the ex-advisor of Trump, Mr. Flynn. It was the Russian singer, very famous singer, Arkady Ukupnik, who met with Mr. Flynn on Brighton Beach in Brooklyn in a special Russian cafe, Langeron.
What's the name of the cafe?
Langeron.
Langeron?
Yes, it's on the Brighton Beach.
Okay. And
it's a special, it's a Russian district in Brooklyn.
And do you know what was discussed?
They discussed many things, but the most interesting thing is they used a special password before their meetings. When they met each other, they said, "Weather is good on Deribasovskaya."
Weather
it rains.
Is good.
Yeah.
In where?
Weather is good on Deribasovskaya. There is a name of a street in Odessa. Did you hear?
Yes, I did. So it's a street in Odessa.
Yes.
And the code word is weather is good on Deribasta?
Deribasovskaya. Deribasovskaya.
Skaya. Okay. Yeah. And I'll have my staff follow up to get spellings and more details on.
Yes.
That.
And the second part of their best word was, it rains again on Brighton Beach.
It rains again on Brighton Beach.
Yes. On that meeting, Ukupnik told Flynn that all those compromising materials will never be released if Trump will cancel all Russian sanctions.
Okay. Well, obviously, we would welcome a chance to get copies of those recordings. So we will try to work with the FBI to figure out, along with your staff, how we can obtain copies of those.
I also advise you to check all Sobchak's visits in the U.S. because she was in the U.S. very often, and just to check what she did there, actually. And I also would like to look at Russian cafe on Brighton Beach, Langeron, and especially on their head of Russian mafia, Uncle Misha.
Uncle Misha? And
yes.
He's in Brighton Beach?
Yes, he's head of Russian mafia, and he's located on that restaurant on Brighton Beach.
Okay.
I just want to advise you just to look at them, please.
Alrighty. Good. This is very helpful. I appreciate it. Anything else you wanted to add today?
Well, I hope that my information will be useful for you and your committee, and I also would like to advise you, when you or your colleagues will meet Mr. Trump, I advise you to tell him first part of the password on the weather is good on Deribasovskaya, and look how his face will change the color.
Yeah, Adam Schiff, genius. How do you get spoofed by a radio show?
Mr. Hannity, this is Russia calling. This is Russia. Welcome to the Russia Moscow Today show.
All right, let's get to our...
Yeah.
After my election. Tell Vladimir.
Yeah.
I understand. I tell Vladimir. I understand. Tell Vladimir. After the election, I have more flexibility. I'll do whatever he wants. And maybe I'll give him $150 billion, like we gave the Iranians. Whatever it takes to make you love us, I'll pay any amount.
All right, let's get to our busy phones. Many of you have been very, very patient here. Ian is in Gainesville, Florida. Ian, how are you? Glad you called.
Hey, Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you today?
Good, good. Hey, I was listening yesterday with a couple of the points that you made. First, I want to make the point about your caller, Pam. There's a saying, you can fool all of the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool everybody all the time. And that's really where we're at now. Most of the American people, they have their eyes open. They see things like Rod Rosenstein, James Comey, Robert Mueller. They're all affiliated with Clinton and the Clinton campaign, and they were under Clinton, the original one in the 90s, and they all got their start with it. So they have loyalty there. You have to see in anything you do in life, there's loyalty. So that's what we're seeing right now as an American people, is that these people are playing their loyalty cards towards who they have loyalty to, so to speak. So right now,
you know, in a way, you're like, it's doublespeak, but you're making total sense to me. I understand every word you're saying. No, I understand what you mean here. Look, everybody has ties back to Clinton. And then the interesting thing to me is all these guys, Comey, McCabe, who we've been talking about all day, and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Jim Comey and, you know, all of these people, they're all connected. Rosenstein, he's in the mix. They all know each other. They've all been going back for years and years and years. This is a game to them, and they all have each other's back. Andrew Weissman never should have been appointed. Why was he appointed? Because he's, you know, best friends with Robert Mueller. Forget his failed track record. Forget a 9-0 decision in the Supreme Court that he got against him, or that he put people in jail for a year that were innocent. You know, forget the tens of thousands of people at Anderson Accounting lost his job. Let's bring him back. Another special counsel. Let's go on another witch hunt together. Worked out great the last time. Ian, thank you. 800-941. Sean, Amy is in Colorado. Amy, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. Thanks for all you do.
Thank you for helping. I appreciate it.
I just have a comment about the Hillary, what Hillary said. You were talking about it yesterday, and I just think she needs to keep talking, because every time she talks, it reinforces the reason that I did not vote for her. My husband did not make me go to the polls to vote for Donald Trump. Thank you very much, Hillary. I'm so grateful.
I played it yesterday. I mean, the fact that she, you know, literally has such contempt for the American people, I mean, it speaks volumes. There is a phenomenon. If you run for president and you lose, and you're all these people think they're going to win, they never believe they're going to lose. It's also in other political races, too. There are so many people that say, no, I'll say, well, the polls show you're down 15 points. Are you worried? And they're like, no, those polls are all wrong. And by the way, polls can be wrong, often are wrong. Exit polls were wrong in 2004 and in 2016 in a massive way. But there's certain times when people say, but the crowds were huge. And I'm like, well, how huge? Well, there's at least 150 people there. And I'm like, that's not a huge crowd. But they want to believe what they want to believe. Hillary has just gotten angrier and angrier and angrier. And she keeps lashing out. And she's having a very hard time coming to grips with the fact that she lost yet again. And she had every opportunity to make her case, and she failed. And she thought she was going to win.
We do not do well with white men, and we don't do well with married white women. And part of that is an identification with the Republican Party and a sort of ongoing pressure to vote the way that your husband, your boss, your son,
yeah,
whoever, believes you should.
Your husband, your boss, and your son tell you how to vote if you're a woman. Like, what universe is she living in? I don't know a single woman that's married that would say, yeah, my husband made me vote for him. She's going to go in the ballot box and vote whatever way she wants. It's just absurd. But she's, again, angry and desperate. Laguna Beach, California. Rick is next. Hey, Rick, how are you?
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show, and I appreciate everything you do for the conservatives.
Thank you. I try every day, my friend, with your help.
Great, great. Hey, I have a thought. I see only one logical reason why the Iranian One deal went down, and it's not about following the money. I believe that when the Russians hacked into Hillary's server, they got information of such a serious nature that it would have destroyed Obama's presidency, either by impeachment or getting reelected in 2012. And I think that leverage was used to get Obama to cooperate. What do you think on that?
Look, I don't really know the inside story, but I know that there's certain fundamental things that don't add up. One thing that doesn't add up is we import 90% of our uranium. Doesn't it seem odd that we would give up any of our own resources? That seems pretty odd to me.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
It doesn't make any sense. Then the fact that we have an informant telling us about Putin's operatives and network inside the country, and nobody does anything about it, and then 18 months later they approve the deal, and then you follow the money aspect of it. You always follow the money, and it goes right back into the Clinton coffers, either through speeches of Bill or through the Clinton Foundation. That doesn't make sense either. And, you know, it doesn't pass the smell test.
It wouldn't have happened if Obama didn't want it to happen. It's Obama's court as to whether he wanted this to happen or not. And his power, his legacy, his presidency was at stake. And I think he had to play ball with the Russians.
No, I don't think anybody had to play ball with the Russians. I just think that he was naive. And I thought it revealed a lot when he went out there and said,
tell Vladimir I have more flexibility after the election. Tell him.
Okay. After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine if Donald Trump said this. Robert Mueller would handcuff him today. Robert Mueller would be out there today with a warrant for his arrest. He'd pull a Manafort on the White House. He'd go in there at 6 a.m., guns blazing. Poor Melania would be, you know, tied up and put down on the ground like they did to Manafort's wife. All right, let's get back to our busy phones as we say hi to Patricia. Is in Atlanta, News Talk WSB. What's up, Patricia? How are you?
Sean, it's an honor to speak with you after watching your program and listening to you for many years.
Oh, thank you.
I just have a comment on the proposal to raise the age to 21 to order to be able to buy certain firearms.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is that maturity has nothing to do with chronological age.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. We send kids to war, but they can't buy a beer. I mean, it's a little stupid.
Well, and the follow-up on that, Sean, is that if we are going to raise the legal age to 21 to buy certain weapons, why not return the legal age back to 21, not only to buy a beer, but to contract, to be able to have a credit card, to be able to rent an apartment? The legal age was made 18 in the Vietnam War with the protests because if I'm old enough to fight and give up my life for the country at 18,
well, what about voting?
It should be legal.
Right. Look, I agree with all of that. The sad thing is I was fully trained in the safety and use of a firearm since I'm 11 years old. And my parents had firearms. They didn't have their firearms locked up in the house. But I knew because they took the time and they trained me in safety in the use of a firearm, and I was fine. But I wouldn't recommend that for most people. I recommend you lock up all your guns. Look, our friends at Liberty Safe have that hand fingerprint safe. It's great, and it's safe, and you can get to your firearm in a second. I mean, it's so quick. It's amazing. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. Full, complete analysis, news of the day, the pending firing we keep hearing about with Andrew McCabe. Also, the latest on Adam Schiff-less Schiff and what he stands for. The great one, Mark Levin, tonight. Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, and Sebastian Gorka on the latest on the deep state scandal. News you won't get elsewhere. 9 Eastern, Hannity tonight. Set your DVR. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you at 9 back here tomorrow.